This podcast is brought to you by SMC. MoneyWise, be wise.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Good evening and welcome to Editor's Pick of the Day on Money Control. This is Sheetal. Let's start with the top India business headlines.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
The retail space is set for some nice action because we're about to witness a clash between US major Amazon and Mukesh Ambani's Reliance Retail, with the former acquiring a 49% stake in Kishore Biyani's Coupons Limited. Now, this deal allows Amazon to acquire all or part of Biyani's shareholding in Future Retail Limited 3 years from now. As also, you know, part of the agreement, Amazon has been granted a call option. And this call option allows Amazon to acquire all or part of the promoters' shareholding in Future Retail Limited and is exercisable between the 3rd and 10th years. Now, this development comes as Mukesh Ambani-backed Reliance Retail is set to roll out its new commerce platform with the aim, oh, that's what it's called, by the way, new commerce platform, with the aim of becoming one of the top 20 retailers globally. While Amazon has already cornered a significant market share in the online retail space, the acquisition of Future Retail stake is an indication that the American company is gearing up for a full-fledged retail battle. Niti Aayog Vice Chairman Rajiv Kumar has described the current economic downturn as an unprecedented situation. He said this is the first time the country has faced this sort of a liquidity situation where the entire financial sector is in churn. He also said that the government, and we quote, must do whatever it can to take away some of the apprehensions of the private sector, unquote. He said that the government recognizes the problem in the financial sector where liquidity is turning into insolvency and therefore it has to be stopped. He mentioned a lack of trust in the system, whether it is between government and private sector or within the private sector, and that nobody wants to lend to anyone. Almost simultaneously, there was the news that the government may soon roll back an additional levy on foreign funds and announce other measures to boost economic growth, which helped the stock and currency markets reverse losses. Prime Minister Narendra Modi's administration is finalizing a package to reverse the economic slowdown, according to officials who spoke to reporters. Key among them is a likely exemption to foreign portfolio investors from a tax on super rich announced in the budget. State-owned Indian Railway Catering and Tourism Corporation, IRCTC, which sells tickets for Indian Railways and manages its catering services, has filed draft papers for its initial public offering, according to a Mint report. The government is looking to offload up to 20 million shares in IRCTC via the IPO route, which could fetch the centre around 5 to 600 crore rupees. The stake sale will result in the government reducing its stake in the company by about 12.5%. The proposed listing is part of the government's plans to make public several entities operating in the railway sector. The government aims to raise 1.05 lakh crore rupees from divestments in the current financial year. That's up from 80,000 crore rupees that it had budgeted in the last fiscal. Pawan Munjal, chairman of Hero Motor Corp Limited, is in advanced talks to invest in the electric mobility arm of ride-hailing company Ola, according to a report again in the Mint. Munjal will follow Ratan Tata, chairman emeritus of the Tata Group, as an investor in Ola Electric. Earlier in July, the startup had joined the Unicorn Club after receiving funds worth $250 million from Japanese investment bank and venture capital fund SoftBank. In other news from India, the Supreme Court has granted interim protection to former Finance Minister P. Chidambaram in the INX Media money laundering case filed by the Enforcement Directorate. But the senior leader will remain in custody as the apex court did not intervene in the CBI case. By the way, there is a Digging Deep podcast on the very subject that you can check out this evening. To come back, yes, the court has adjourned hearings on the pleas against the CBI and ED filed by Chidambaram seeking interim protection against his arrest to Monday. The court has also recorded in its order that Chidambaram had always been on bail and he had been cooperating in the investigation in the ED matter. This observation is seen as a setback for the Enforcement Directorate in its fight against his anticipatory bail and for seeking custodial interrogation. The Tamil Nadu police are on high alert following intelligence reports that six Lashkar-e-Taiba terrorists have infiltrated the state. One of the six is believed to be a Pakistani national and the others are believed to be from Sri Lanka. A red alert has been sounded in Coimbatore, where the LAT terrorists are believed to be hiding, according to news agency IANS. Security in Chennai, the state capital, and Coimbatore has been strengthened, with hotels, airports, railway stations, theatres, shopping malls and places of worship under close watch. Point to note here, the city of Coimbatore has come under attack from fundamentalist groups in the past as well. Intelligence inputs say that Pakistan is trying to push an estimated 100 Afghan militants into India from Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. The rationale behind sending battle-hardened Afghans, sources said, is that very few locals from the valley have managed to get trained across the border in the recent past, and most local militants have a very short life. Sources in the security establishment also said that close to 15 such militants were identified at a launch pad in POK's Lipa Valley about 3 days ago. Lipa Valley is opposite the Uri and Tangdar sectors in Jammu and Kashmir. After Article 370 was abrogated, these intelligence inputs warn of militants targeting security forces in the valley. Sources stated that major Indian cities could also be their intended targets, with Delhi, Maharashtra and Gujarat already put on alert. All public sector oil companies have stopped supply of aviation turbine fuel or ATF at 6 airports in Ranchi, Mohali, Patna, Visakhapatnam, Pune and Kochi. And this is to Air India subsidy Alliance Air over non-payment of dues. Now, this has grounded several dozens of flights since Thursday afternoon. It started with Indian Oil, which stopped filling fuel into the planes, and later HPCL and BPCL followed suit as well. An Air India spokesperson confirmed the disruption of flights, also verifying that Air India flights have not been impacted by the development. Oil company officials have confirmed the stoppage of supplies as the dues have remained unpaid for months. In the last 2 months, they had cut oil supply to Air India but restored it within hours. Air India has dues of around 3,000 crore rupees to just one oil company. The total dues to all oil companies put together could be way higher. And that's in the top India headlines. We move on next on Editor's Pick of the Day to figure out what's happening in the rest of the world. International business coming up next. EU officials want to set up a 100 billion euro wealth fund to bolster European champions against American and Chinese business rivals. The proposal for a so-called European Future Fund appears in plans that the European Commission officials want to put onto the agenda of their president-elect, Ursula von der Leyen, whose mandate begins on the 1st of November. The officials identify Google, Apple, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, Baidu, Alibaba and Tencent among the companies that Europe needs to rival. The fund would use money from the EU budget to raise at least 100 billion euros in public and private funding that would be invested directly in equity, a sign that Brussels may be planning to take a far more lenient line on public funding for industry as it seeks to build homegrown talent. The International Monetary Fund on Wednesday warned against governments trying to weaken their currencies through monetary easing or market interventions, arguing in a blog post that this would hurt the functioning of the international monetary system and make all nations worse off. The post said that the policy proposals to use monetary easing and direct purchases of other countries' currencies are unlikely to work. The IMF blog emphasized that global external imbalances are not grossly misaligned and repeated the fund's view that China's external position, which includes the value of the yuan, was broadly in line with fundamentals in 2018. Given the depth of the market for the dollar and the euro, actions such as buying foreign currencies to weaken the dollar or taxing capital inflows are, and we quote, likely to be ineffective, unquote, says the blog. Even countervailing bilateral tariffs aimed at offsetting an undervalued currency are likely to reduce aggregate trade imbalances because they mainly would divert trade to other countries, according to IMF researchers. Instead, they are likely to harm both domestic and global growth by sapping business confidence and investment and disrupting global supply chains while raising costs for producers. The Bavarian Association for Landscape Conservation and Species Protection, VLAB, is fighting the installation of new wind towers, arguing that wind power is an archaic and ill-fated attempt to combat climate change. The campaigners want a greater focus on solar panels, biogas and geothermal energy, and are keen to keeping more efficient coal power plants running to ensure security of power supply if necessary. The activities of groups like VLAB spell trouble for Germany's ambitious effort to shift to renewable energy at a time when it has pledged that renewables will account for 65% of its power by 2030. Without onshore wind, that goal will be almost impossible to achieve. In other international news, Pakistan has been put in an, and we quote, enhanced blacklist, unquote, by global financial watchdog Financial Action Task Force's Asia-Pacific Division for its failure to meet global standards. Islamabad now needs to focus on avoiding the blacklist in October, when the 15-month timeline ends on the FATF's 27-point action plan. Pakistan has been found non-compliant on 32 of the 40 compliance parameters on money laundering and terror financing. In June this year, the watchdog had issued a strong warning to Pakistan to curb terror financing by October or face consequences. India has, in the past, urged the FATF to put Pakistan on a blacklist of countries that fail to meet international standards in stopping terror funding, following the listing of Pakistan-based Jaish-e-Mohammed chief Masood Azhar as a global terrorist by the United Nations. Since June of 2018, Pakistan has been on the grey list of countries whose domestic laws are considered weak to tackle the challenges of money laundering and terrorism financing. Several FATF members have also raised the issue of no cases being registered against Hafiz Saeed and Azhar Masood. If Pakistan continues to remain in the list, it would risk being downgraded by the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the Asian Development Bank, besides facing negative assessments by credit rating agencies such as Moody's, Standard & Poor's, and Fitch. A United States envoy and the Taliban have resumed negotiations on ending America's longest war after earlier signaling that they were close to a deal. A Taliban member familiar with the talks that resumed in Qatar said U.S. envoy Zalmay Khalilzad also met one-on-one Wednesday with the Taliban's lead negotiator, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. The U.S. and the Taliban have held 8 previous rounds of negotiations in the past year on issues including a U.S. troop withdrawal, a ceasefire, intra-Afghan negotiations to follow, and Taliban guarantees that Afghanistan will not be a launchpad for global terror attacks. The prospect of a troop withdrawal has created widespread concern that another civil war in Afghanistan could follow as various armed parties jostle for power. Hong Kong is bracing for further anti-government demonstrations and a stress test of the city's international airport this weekend. Multiple protests were planned for Friday, including a march by accountants to government headquarters and a Baltic Chain event where protesters will join hands across different districts. Nearly 3 months of anti-government rallies have plunged the city into crisis, drawing in corporate casualties such as Cathay Pacific. Meanwhile, a Harvard University economist, Carmen Reinhart, has said that Hong Kong's rolling political turmoil could prove a tipping point for the world economy. The academic's warning comes days after Federal Reserve Bank of Boston President Eric Rosengren said the crisis in Hong Kong, and we quote, one of the great global cities, unquote, is on his global worry list. Reinhart, who previously has warned that Hong Kong faces a housing bubble, said that the world economy could be hit, and we quote, by shocks with a bang or with a whisper, unquote. Those risks include a dramatic China event that sparks capital flight and a weaker yuan and spills over into the region. Emmanuel Macron has described the Amazon rainforest fires as an international crisis and demanded emergency talks at the forthcoming G7 summit of world leaders. Brazil's space research center, INPE, has detected 72,843 fires in the Amazon so far this year, an 84% rise compared to 2018. The blazes have been blamed for a plume of smoke which blocked out the sun over Sao Paulo on Monday. Indigenous groups living within the Amazon have tried desperately to save the land. Many blame illegal ranchers for setting the fires, and conservation groups believe the crisis is man-made. They also believe that the government of the far-right Brazilian president Jair Bolsonaro has tacitly encouraged people to set the fires in order to clear the land. Leaked documents first obtained by Open Democracy suggests that the Bolsonaro administration has deliberately tried to sabotage conservation efforts in the Amazon. The devastating fires have prompted global concern over the Amazon, which provides 20% of the world's oxygen supply. In the middle of this, Brazilian Minister Ricardo Salles has apparently, contrarily, called for the monetization of the Amazon rainforest through development in order to save it. And those are the top international headlines on Editor's Pick of the Day. Let's move on to take a look at the world of technology next. Oracle is suing its own founder for billions of dollars. In an unprecedented move, 3 board members have approved a lawsuit on behalf of shareholders against Larry Ellison and co-CEO Safra Katz, alleging that Oracle's $9.3 billion purchase of NetSuite, a company Ellison controls, breached their fiduciary duty. The subject of the lawsuit is Oracle's $9.3 billion acquisition of NetSuite in 2016, a deal in which Oracle paid a premium to buy NetSuite, which Ellison founded and owned 40% of. According to Wall Street analysts, Oracle paid $109 per share, though NetSuite was worth closer to $70. The plaintiffs are also said to be seeking billions of dollars in damages. The controversy surrounding Facebook's Libra may not go away anytime soon. Earlier this week, Bloomberg reported European Union antitrust regulators are actively investigating the cryptocurrency project. Today, the Financial Times says 3 Libra partners are privately discussing distancing themselves from the venture because of regulatory scrutiny. At the same time, Facebook is frustrated because the partners are not vocally supporting the project. Facebook's Libra Association, based in Switzerland, which will oversee the blockchain-based currency, has faced a backlash since its announcement this summer over concerns of privacy, trust, and disruption of the global financial system. The fiercest criticism has come from the Financial Services Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives, who requested a complete halt of operations in June, fearing a conglomerate-owned currency is, we quote, too big to fail, unquote. More on bees coming up in offbeat news on Editor's Pick of the Day today. Australian beekeeper Paul Wood found a treasure trove of honeycombs inside a massive beehive hidden inside a woman's home in suburban Brisbane. Wood removed the 50 kg honeycomb and the 60,000 bees inside the 10-month-old hive and took the bees into what he refers to as a free-range hive in his backyard. His video of the removal of this massive hive and its succulent honeycombs from the structure's ceiling has gone viral on social media. Wood and his colleague gently vacuumed the bees into a special box for transportation and removed the honeycombs, straining the honey into jars. Now, while the bees remain in a temporary hive in Wood's backyard, he says they will eventually be sent to beekeeping enthusiasts in Brisbane. And in sort of disturbing and yet odd news, a zoo in France released a statement on Wednesday after some visitors scratched their names, Camille and Julien, on the back of a 35-year-old female rhinoceros. The zoo said its management was, and we quote, outraged by the stupidity and disrespect, unquote, of the visitors. The visitors reportedly scratched their names onto the rhino skins with their fingernails. And finally, a look at what happened in the local equity markets to end Editor's Pick of the Day. Well, the stock markets gained on news of the possible rollback of the super rich tax on FPIs and implementation of the direct tax code. The BSE Sensex settled 228 points or 0.63% higher at 36,701 on the back of gains in metals and public sector bank stocks. Vedanta, Yes Bank, ONGC and Mahindra & Mahindra were the top gainers, while IndusInd Bank, ITC, ICICI Bank and Power Grid lost the most. The Nifty also gained about 88 points to close at 10,829. Over the week, both the Sensex and Nifty were down 2% each. Nifty Bank slipped about 4.5% this week, registering its biggest weekly fall in 11 months. Indices for private bank and FMCG stocks ended in the red. Nifty Media as an index ended up as a top gainer, up 4.2%, followed by the Nifty Metal Index, which gained 3.3% today. On the broader market, the mid-cap scrips fared better than the small-cap stocks. The S&P BSE Mid-Cap Index settled 0.9% higher at 13,202, as against a gain of 67 points or 0.5% for the BSE Small Cap Index, which closed at 12,186. World stock markets and the dollar rose today ahead of Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell's speech on future rate cuts by the U.S. Central Bank. Britain's FTSE 100 was up 0.64%. And that's all from us on Editor's Pick of the Day. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
And finally, a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, stock analysis, and trading recommendations. You can now subscribe to Money Control Pro for just 289 rupees for a year as part of our independence offer. Use the code FREEDOM, FREEDOM. The offer is valid until the 31st of August for Android and desktop users. You can log on to moneycontrol.com to subscribe.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.